الحمد لله، الحمد لله خالق الوجود من العدم، وجاعل النور من الظلم، ومخرج الصبر من الألم، فملقي التوبة على الندم، فنشكره على المصائب كما نشكره على النعم، ونصلي على رسوله الأكرم ذي الشرف الأشم والنور الأتم، والكتاب المحكم وكمال النبيين والخاتم سيد ولد آدم، الذي بشر به عيسى ابن مريم ودعا لبعثته إبراهيم عليه السلام حين كان يرفع قواعد بيت الله المحرم، فصلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى أتباعه خير الأمم الذين بارك الله بهم كافة الناس العرب منهم والعجم. فالحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل، وكبره تكبيرا. والحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا. والحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله، وكفى بالله شهيدا، فصلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. ثم أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها، وإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. يقول الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: إن الإنسان خلق هلوعا إذا مسه الشر جزوعا وإذا مسه الخير منوعا إلا المصلين الذين هم على صلاتهم دائمون. اللهم اجعلنا من المصلين الذين هم على صلاتهم دائمون. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا إله إلا الله، اللهم اجعلنا من الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر، آمين يا رب العالمين. Today's khutbah is about a few ayat that belong to Surah Al-Ma'arij. And in my attempt to introduce these ayat to you, I'll share something with you in general and then come to these ayat. Allah Azza wa Jal created the human being, and He didn't just create us like a machine. He created a lot of very intricate systems that all of us need to function. Our hearing has its own function, its own system. Our seeing works its own way. Our minds work its own way. Every part of our body has an entire mechanism behind it. And part of that creation that Allah Azza wa Jal made is he made the human body react to things. Of course, if you're eating unhealthy food, your body's going to react a certain way. If you're in an extreme temperature, your body's going to react by sweating or becoming uncomfortable. If something pokes you or stabs you or bleeds you, you're going to have a knee-jerk reaction. You're going to immediately feel it. You're going to sense something. So Allah Azza wa Jal created this body with a sense of reaction. And that's part of the nature that Allah Azza wa Jal created us with. It's a mercy of Allah that He did that, because if we were in pain and we didn't know, then we could even die and not realize that we're bleeding to death or we're drowning or something like that. So these sensations of discomfort that we have that make our bodies react, even the sensation of hunger that makes us react to eat food, or thirst that makes us react to drink, these are sensations Allah put inside of us for our own betterment. But there's another dimension to our creation. Of course, Allah created our bodies. He created our cells. He created our skin and our bones and the blood that flows inside it. All of these things Allah created materially, physically. But there's another dimension to our creation, which is our thoughts and our emotions and what goes on in our hearts and our minds. And Allah Azza wa Jal created that too. The feelings that you have, whether they be anger, they be sadness, they be fear, the thoughts that you have, you know, the analysis that you do, the projections that you make and I make, all of those things are also actually something Allah Azza wa Jal created and empowered us with, just like our physical bodies. And sometimes in the Quran, Allah will talk about the physical creation of the human being, and other times Allah will talk about how He made us as our personalities. What machinery did He put inside of our personalities, in our hearts and our minds, that we function a certain way? And of course, this is the study in modern times. Many would categorize this as the study of human psychology, right? How humans behave, how humans think, how humans feel, how they respond to certain situations, how they can navigate through their feelings and emotions and get better, etc., etc. But in these ayat, Allah Azza wa Jal actually describes one dimension of human psychology and the way we were made. And that's really what this khutbah is about. But before I get to that, one last introductory thing, and that is that Allah Azza wa Jal, before these ayat that I want to share with you, He described Judgment Day. And He described a very strange scene on Judgment Day, similar to which has been described only one other place, but this place in particular, Allah says, يَوَدُّ الْمُجْرِمُ لَوْ يَفْتَدِي مِنْ عَذَابِ يَوْمِئِذٍ بِبَنِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَأَخِيهِ وَفَصِيلَتِهِ الَّتِي تُؤْوِيهِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ يُنْجِيهِ. That the criminal on Judgment Day is going to hope or wish for the notion that he may be able to give his own child or his children as ransom, as pay, for him not to be thrown into hell. And then he'll hope that he can offer his own spouse, or he can offer his brother, or he can offer his extended family, the one that gave him protection and took care of him his entire time, the ones who guarded him, he'd rather throw them and get them thrown into hell for him to be saved. And then Allah says, and there will be people on that day that will be so shocked by what's coming, they'll say, وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ يُنْجِيهِ. Take everyone on the earth, let them go to hell, just let me go. That's what they're going to say. So this is describing an extremely reactionary response to the shock of Judgment Day. And from there, Allah immediately transitions to the ayat I want to share with you. And those are, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا. The human being, no doubt about it, has been created reactionary. The human being was created, and I'm roughly translating halu' as reactionary. Human beings, when something happens to them, immediately they just want the problem to go away. Or if something good happens to us, we immediately respond in ways that may not even be appropriate. We overreact, and we're quick to react. We're quick to judge a situation and just do what we do. Just like physically, if a needle touches you and you go like that, just like that, even in our minds and our hearts, when something happens, our thoughts and our emotions are sometimes out of control. And that statement by Allah is captured, that idea is captured by the word halur. So before I go any further, I'm going to try to explain some meanings behind this word, because it's a very choice word Allah Azza wa Jal depicted here in this ayah to describe what we're like all the time. He says, Ibn Ashur says in describing this word, إِنَّ الْهَلَعْ قِلَّةُ إِمْسَاكِ النَّفْسِ عِنْدَ اَعْتِرَاءِ مَا يُحْزِنُهَا أَوْ مَا يُسِرُّهَا أَوْ عِنْدَ تَوَقُّعِ ذَلِكَ أَوْ الْإِشْفَاقِ مِنْهُ. What he means by all of that in simple English is, it's the tendency of people to not be able to hold themselves back. Very little are they able to hold themselves back when something that bothers you, depresses you, makes you sad, makes you angry, upsets you, something negative happens, you're not able to control your reaction to that. Or your ability to withhold it is very, very little. Somebody says something absurd to you, something offensive to you. You're sitting in a gathering and you're like, how could you say that? And there's a tendency, at the very least, your face changes, at the very least. For some people, they'll explode right then and there and say, shut up! What'd you say? And they'll become like that. You know, other people will say, you could say that now, but watch what I say about you online. And you know, or whatever. They'll have reactions, right? And they're not able to withhold that reaction. Maybe they can, it's like, you know, that kettle that's boiling, and the lid is on, but it's going to blow eventually. Right? So your ability to withhold it becomes little by little, little and little and little. And similarly, when something good happens to you, or something you were expecting, you're not able to withhold your reaction of joy, maybe your reaction to party, your reaction to over-celebrate, etc. And so he's saying that we become reactionary at the first onset of good or bad news, and we have very little control over that. We have very little breaks on it. And that's Allah's commentary, first and foremost, about this attitude of halu'. He also adds that Allah used the word khuliqa, the human being has been created this way. As if Allah programmed us this way. Like we're made to be this way. And that's an interesting thing to say. Khuliqa kinayatan an tamakkuni dhalika al-khuluq minhu wa ghalabatuhu ala nafs. Meaning Allah said, you were made this way to demonstrate that is actually your natural state. Like if you don't work on it, you're going to be reactionary. Like you're not able to withstand and be patient and be, you know, to not let things get to you. You're not like that naturally. You're actually reactionary naturally. I mean, think about children. When something bothers them, they're not like, I should sit and have sabr. They start crying right away. Or they throw a tantrum right away. Naturally, as children grow, then they have to develop that skill of reacting in a way that's more controlled, right? To withhold. But that's not something that occurs to us naturally. Allah is describing that our predisposed state is actually of being very impatient and being very reactionary. Now, let me compare that a little bit with, the physical body. Our physical body is also very reactionary. It's also, in a sense, very weak. But you know, there are people, like, you know, people that are in the martial arts, for example, or boxing or whatever else. As they train, their resistance for pain and their resistance for, you know, otherwise uncomfortable situations goes up. They're able to withstand more than a normal person can. The human body is capable of some incredible things, to withstand some incredible endurance, if it is put under regular training. You can't go to the gym one time and then take a punch in the gut. You can't do it. You've got to be at it for a long time and build that resistance and strength, and then you're able to withstand otherwise something that would make you, that will knock you out. Otherwise you wouldn't be able to take it. And it's actually the same formula that Allah made for the physical body in the physical world. If you want to get stronger, you have to build your resistance. If you don't want the reaction of getting knocked out quickly, you've got to train yourself and get stronger. The same exact exercise program Allah created for our minds and our hearts. That we don't become reactionary with our thoughts, with our speech, because speech is an expression of what your thoughts are, right? If you're going to blurt something out, it's because that was going on in your mind or in your heart. And it's a lack of restraint, a lack of resistance that you possess, that you have the ability to have, that is letting it come out. That's letting it just explode onto the scene. And so, now I want to share with you how Mufassirun, when our classical scholars looked at this word, hala, human beings have been created, you know, halu'a, extremely reactionary, extremely quick to respond. How did they interpret this? There are several interpretations that they offered, and all of them, Ibn Ashur correctly points out, are actually not the meaning of the word, but certain manifestations of it. It's not the disease, it's the symptoms. Like, how do you see this come out in life? It's asharah, it's greed. Like, human beings see an opportunity to make some money, jump on it right away. Or somebody, just simple example, somebody's walking by, they see like a $20 bill floating or something. They'll run across the street even if it's dangerous to go grab it before the wind takes it away. Right? This is halur. Similarly, adjar, irritability. This is an important one, especially for younger people. To get easily agitated. Like kids sitting in the back seat of a car. Could you tell her to stop? He's still staring at me. Ugh! You get annoyed so quickly. You get agitated and angry so quickly. What people say, some people will literally come and tell me, you know, that person's face bothers me. I can't stand it. I don't want to come here. Like that easily you get agitated by the presence of someone, by the voice of someone, by the words of someone. Sometimes people in your own family, you just hear one word. They say, Assalamu alaikum. I'm like, oh God, you again. They just said salam, man. Chill out. They didn't say anything else. But you become easily irritated by anything they have to say. Like, you know, young people, they'll come home from college or high school or whatever. Mom says, how was your day? Mom, could you please just stop? Okay? I had a long day. I don't want to get into it with you. All she said was, how was your day? Why are you doing that? Why is your reaction such? This is just easily becoming irritable at dajjal. Then asharh, or shuh actually. Stinginess. When something good comes to you, you want to hold on to it and you want to make sure nobody else gets it. I'll give you silly examples of this so you appreciate that this is not some great evil. It's everyday things. You know, I'm Pakistani, so I'll tell you about Pakistani weddings. When you go to Pakistani weddings, they have a buffet that they make you wait for an extra long time. So if they say it's 8 o'clock, it's probably 11:30 p.m. or Fajr, you know, when they're going to serve you dinner. But anyway, when you go to get the dinner, the guy ahead of you sees all this one tray of chicken and this got chicken legs in there, looks really good. He's gonna pile as many of them on his plate as he can because one day his grandchildren might be hungry. Because he wants to make sure the person behind doesn't, because if I ever come back for seconds and it's not there anymore, I want an insurance policy. They're gonna eat one or two pieces, the rest is gonna go in the garbage, but they can't help but avail the opportunity right now. They want all of it right now. Children have it. Kids will have their toys. You buy them toys after toys after toys. Your house looks like Toys R Us. When you go inside, you can't step on, not step on the floor, but step on a toy. But when, and they don't play with any of them. They don't play with none of them. But if some other kid comes to your house and touches one of those toys, what does your child do? That's mine. Hey, 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 that's my favorite toy. And then they start playing with it like it's, they just got it. And when that kid leaves the house, they're like, chuck it again. Like, I don't care. This is shuh. Meaning we're reactionary, what we want to make sure what we have stays ours, and nobody else gets it. And if we have an opportunity to grab something, we just grab it, and nobody ever get their hands on it because I might miss out on something. Whether you have something with you or not, that's the attitude. And then of course comes al-ju'r. Some of us described halu'r as ja'ir, like extremely hungry, extremely like starving for things all the time. Like even if you're not hungry, you feel like you want more. Even if you're not in need of money, you want more money. you're constantly, you know, gravitating towards more and more and more. And finally, al-jubn, which is my favorite, is that human beings become cowardly. When bad things happen, when tough times happen, you buckle, you crumble. You say, forget it, life's over, you know what? I just got laid off from my job. I'm just going to be homeless now. What can I do? It's just, I'm done. It's finished. I'm just going to sit over here and not think about, and you just become depressed and allow the world to just crush you. And you feel like there's no hope. No matter what you do, things are only going to get worse and worse and worse. And you just buckle under pressure. And these are the symptoms of being halu'. Innal insana khuliqa halu'a. Allah Azza wa Jal takes two of those symptoms and then describes them. There are many symptoms, but he describes two salient ones in the next two ayat. He says, إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. He says when bad stuff happens to him, when harm touches him in any way, when some discomfort comes your way, comes my way, then we become جَزُوع. جَزُوع, ضِدُّ الصَّبْر, أو صَبُور. You become completely impatient. You lose it. Whether you lose it by way of anger, by way of crying, by way of buckling, by way of losing hope entirely, by way of using foul language, you can have your own reactions. All of them will come under this one word, jazur. Some people will, you know, face a bad situation, and as a result of it, they'll say, you know what, forget it, I don't want to pray anymore. That's it, I'm done. Or you know what, I have never had a drink in my life, but my life is so messed up right now, I'm just going to go to a bar, I'm going to have a drink. Forget it. Who cares anyway? Life stinks anyway. I've even heard people say things like, the more I pray, the harder my life gets. So forget it. It's not like it's getting any better. You know, people will turn to drugs, alcohol, sin. People will turn to all kinds of things to deal with a problem. And then they'll say, you know what? I was going through a hard time. That's why I did it. I was just in a rough time in my life. And that's why, you know, I did this, that, and the other. That's not my, I had my reasons. I broke down. And Allah actually acknowledges that human beings have that tendency. He's actually not criticizing it yet. He's not criticizing that yet. He's saying human beings are weak. They are reactionary. And when bad things happen, they do buckle. They're not able to withhold. If they were good all this time, eventually they just break. And then they do things that they would otherwise never have done. They become jazur. And the other extreme tendency is, وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. And when good things come their way, when some good touches them, they make sure nobody else gets it. They make sure that they can hold on to it and they prevent others from getting anywhere near that good. وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. And that this, I've seen this in the most extreme ways. Like you have people that have become, they went through med school, they became doctors, and they're established in their careers. They've got senior positions at the hospital or whatever. And they see some new kid come, and he's just in his residency. He's just a new kid. And they're giving him a hard time and insecure about that kid. What is his success going to change about your career? He's not there to take your job. Relax. But nope. Can't see anybody else come up. Because when khair comes, I want it all to myself. I don't want to see anybody else come up. I can't stand that. إِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. These are the extremes that we can go down. But then Allah Azza wa Jal describes the remedy. By the way, all of this so far is how human beings can easily become. Allah is not saying bad people are like this. Allah is saying anybody can become like this and not realize it. He's actually saying this is غَلَبَتْ خَصَّةٍ. This is the dominant quality of people. This is how people were programmed. This is how they were made. But then how are you supposed to, what exercise are you supposed to do to build that resistance? Remember I told you the example of the boxer? If this is how we're going to be, how do we get out of it? If this is how weak we are, and this is the kind of people we can become so easily, what is it that we can do to snap out of it, to become stronger, to be able to deal with these problems or these good things in a way that's mature, that we have the resistance, and we can take the hits and move on, keep throwing punches, and not get knocked out? That solution to Allah is إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ, except those who pray. أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ. Those who in their prayers are consistent and constant. Remember I told you exercise needs to be consistent before you build resistance. This thing that we do, this prayer that we do, it's actually a way of making us stronger people. But still, I mean, you're like, okay, I make wudu and I stand there and I recite some words and I do this cardiovascular exercise. How is this making me handle my problems? Well, I don't see the connection. How is this supposed to help that? If you recognize, and I recognize, what prayer actually is, first and foremost, salah is a connection directly to Allah. But more importantly, when you're standing in prayer, you're standing directly in front of Allah. And when you're in a meeting, like if you're in a meeting with your boss, and in the room, there's only you and your boss, nobody else. At that, and this is like one of those, like a job interview, for example, right? And you're about to get that job, or you got a chance to meet the president of the university, some big deal. And you're alone in a meeting with this important person, this VIP. Is that the time that you are going to be thinking about anything else? Is that the time you'll be distracted by any other concern? The only thing on your mind will be, I better not mess this up. This overrides, and for now, whether my mother is texting me, whether you know there's you know news breaking out on the phone, whether your phone goes, nope, nothing. It's on airplane mode. It's gone, because right now I'm in an interview. Right now nothing else exists. Everything became less of a priority. Everything's priority became minimized because clearly to you this is far more important. You and I are standing in front of Allah. And we're actually simulating, please pay attention to this part, we're simulating when we are going to be standing in front of Allah on Judgment Day. That's what we're doing. We're standing in front of Allah humbly, and we're standing and reciting only what He wants us to recite. No words of our own, none of our own choice. We're doing exactly what He wants to do, absolute submission. Every movement is submitted to His order. That's exactly what we're going to do in every movement of the prayer. What are we simulating? The absolute submission to Allah on Judgment Day. Now you think about that. When I am going through whatever problem I'm going through, you're going through whatever problem you're going through, and we're tending to be reactionary, and then Dhuhr time comes, and we say Allahu Akbar, and all of a sudden we're on Judgment Day. Are these problems that big anymore? Are these problems really the ones that need such a reaction anymore? Or they become all of a sudden insignificant? Their size diminishes because you're in a much more powerful meeting. It's the consciousness of prayer. It's being aware of what exactly Salat is. What is it that we're doing when we're standing in front of Allah? We're putting things in proper perspective. No matter what calamity we're going through in life, it can't be bigger, it can't be something that our Master can't solve. And you've got a one-on-one meeting with Him. And you take it before Him and you become optimistic. And maybe the first time you did it, your problem didn't get solved. The second time you did it, you didn't get solved. And you get to say, I keep praying, but my problem's not going away. How do you not want me to react? And by the way, some reaction is natural. I told you before, Yaqub alayhi salam reacted. He cried for many, many years. He cried, but he doesn't stop his prayers. To some extent, for the most part, we will have a reaction. We can't stop but having some emotions, but Allah Azza wa Jalla will give us the strength to navigate through them. And we will not become people that lose hope, not become people that lose sabr, not become halur, entirely reactionary. Some reaction will always be there. That makes us human. But is that reaction going to overwhelm us? Is that sadness or that fear or that cowardice or that anger, is that going to overtake us? No, not if salah is there. If salah is there, we're going to be able to manage those emotions, contain those emotions. And that's the remedy that Allah Azza wa Jalla gave us in these beautiful ayat. إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ One last thing and I let you go. There are multiple remedies in these ayat. This is just the first of them, right? And the most important of them, of course. Which is why it isn't just the first remedy, it is also the last. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ It's at the end as well. That is the key remedy to guard your prayers. But I'll mention one more remedy, the second one. He says, وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ لِسَائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ لِسَائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ He says, in their money, there's a piece that is dedicated, for a known piece that is dedicated, a right for those who ask, and those who are in need, and those who are deprived. In other words, you and I are going through whatever calamity, or you and I are having really good time. Never do we forget there are people in much worse situations. People are having a much more difficult time. And by giving to them, and by thinking of them, it actually helps you diminish, well, you know what, I don't have it that bad. I don't have it so bad. At least I'm still able to help someone else. And look at their circumstance and compare it to mine, I'm actually living a pretty luxurious life. I have it pretty good. It puts things in perspective and it builds your resistance to your problems. Understand, whenever something bad happens to you and me, there are people that much worse is happening to. And that in itself makes you and me grateful that, Ya Allah, you did not give me a much bigger test that you've given some other people. You've given me a much lesser test. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us of those that are not reactionary in a way that doesn't please Him. And may Allah Azza wa Jal give us strength through prayer and strength through giving genuine charity. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim. ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على أفضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. يقول الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. عباد الله رحمكم الله، اتقوا الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقم الصلاة إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا.